Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome into the program. As you heard, Jim off today, off tomorrow. He'll be back on Monday. That means you've got me. I'm Bill Ryder. Appreciate you listening. Thanks for hanging out. As always, an absolute thrill, pleasure, honor to be filling in for Jim. And to let you know that we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. We got a lot of things to tackle over the course of the show. And we've got some pretty good help. We're coming down to the wire in this NBA season. And for the first time for me personally, in three seasons, I'm going to be an official voter for all of those NBA awards, MVP, Rookie of the Year. And I'm going to get a little help in trying to make sure I get that ballot right. Got to take it seriously. When I talk to you here on the Jim Rome Show, when I'm filling in on this program, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, when I'm doing my show before Jim, Ryder Than You on CBS Sports Radio, when I'm writing columns at CBSSports.com or talking on CBS Sports HQ, I want to make sure the things I say are based in fact and make a lot of calls. I do a lot of reporting. But voting for these awards, to me, is a whole other level of respecting players in the sport properly. So I take in all the information that I can. Shaquille O'Neal gave his top five players in the NBA. And we're going to dive into that. And I'll get some help from Kurt Heelan, national NBA guy for NBC Sports. My buddy Jeff Zilgit, same job, different company, over at USA Today. Those guys are in the second hour of the program. We'll talk some baseball with Tony Gwynn Jr. Does radio in San Diego on one of our wonderful affiliates, home of the Padres, former big leaguer, carries the burden of an opportunity of a pretty obviously important name in the game. We'll talk about that and about this Dodgers, Padres, now Giants reality in the NL West. Man, three good teams. Dodgers coming off a sweep at the hand of the Cubs. We'll talk some baseball with Tony. And I'm excited about all those guys. I am really looking forward to you and I hearing from Brady Papinga. Brady Papinga, former linebacker, longtime Packer, played in the NFL. Incredibly candid guy. And it's one of the things I love about having him on this show, on my show, and just talking to Brady in general. You ask him a question, he's not going to think about how to spin it or what the right answer. He's going to tell you the honest answer. And he's also friends with Aaron Rodgers. The only times that I have talked to Aaron Rodgers in any meaningful way, right, beyond one of 50 people, hey, Aaron, good game today, is on the radio with Brady Papinga when we used to host a radio show together several times because A-Rod would come on because Brady's his guy. Brady's going to have some insight on the debacle in Green Bay. It's what it is, whoever you want to blame. And we'll get that perspective from him later in the show. Tony La Russa doesn't know the rules of the game of baseball, which wouldn't be a big deal if he were, I don't know, an NFL coach. But since he's the White Sox skipper, kind of a problem. We're gonna dive into that. We'll get into that MVP conversation. The NBA, and I think the NBA is amazingly well run. I think Adam Silver is clearly the best commissioner in American sports. But even greats have terrible, terrible nights and days and performances. And the NBA's response, the fine they put on Kyrie Irving is a joke. And you should feel insulted. And we're going to get to that later in the show. We'll start, though, with Aaron Rodgers, the gift that keeps on giving. I've got two minds of this. I want to give you full disclosure on where I'm coming from, on my perspective. And by the way, if you want to hit me up on Twitter, SportsRyder, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R, you know the number. Lines are still open, 1-800-636-8686. Rome at haveatake.com, at Jim Rome, jimrome.com. As you can tell by the sound of my voice on CBS Sports Radio or the look of my face on CBS Sports Network, I am not Jim Rome. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim today and tomorrow. Evan DeLauro's here. Garrett Ritt is here. I have not seen Garrett drink a hot chocolate yet. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened. I just haven't seen it. Tom DeCelestino, D-Cell, and Tom DiBenedetto, D-Ben. Yeah, two Tom D's with Italian backgrounds are helping out in New York City. Aaron Rodgers is the gift that keeps on giving. Full disclosure in my perspective, I'm a Bears fan who hates my organization. I hate the Bears. And one of the reasons is the grudging and absolute respect I have for not the last, but the last two Packers quarterbacks. You know the story. Brett Favre, all-timer. Aaron Rodgers, all-timer. Brett Favre disgruntled at the end of his career and made that transition to Aaron Rodgers difficult. And I have a lot of respect for the way that Aaron Rodgers handled it. And Aaron Rodgers clearly disgruntled and now making life very difficult for Jordan Love. Feels unlikely that Jordan Love is going to be the next guy to take on the mantle of expectation of being an all-time great Green Bay Packer quarterback. And here's the deal. And there's every day something's going on. Here's the next turn of the screw, the next step in this problem for the Green Bay Packers. You know, Jim's talked about, the whole world's talked about the fact that Aaron Rodgers reportedly wants out of Green Bay, that he's unhappy, that he doesn't want to be there. This is different than, say, the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson. We heard some of this, not at the same level, not the same level of velocity and frustration and anger, but Russ is going to be the quarterback of the Seahawks. It's different because of what's happened, I think, in the last 24 hours. It's the local reporters. It's the folks who have covered the Packers in and out for years who are the ones you want to pay attention to. And those folks, people that write for the local media in Green Bay, for The Athletic, but have been a part of the Packers beat circle for 20, 30 years, in some cases longer, are starting now in the last 20 hours, 18 hours to report that this is real, that Aaron Rodgers probably is never going to play for the Packers again. I think the latest detail is that Aaron Rodgers has, in group text messages with teammates, referred to Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers he wants fired, as Jerry Krause, which is funny for several reasons, including because kind of is Aaron Rodgers making Aaron Rodgers Michael Jordan in this situation. But the thing is, he is Michael Jordan. Is there a single one of you out there, and if so, I'd love to hear from you, 1-800-636-8686, who truly believe that if Aaron Rodgers leaves the Packers, he retires to go host Jeopardy, he retires to go chill, he's in Denver, or he's with the Raiders or the Niners, or some mystery team that's not on his reported list of would-be desired destinations. Does anyone believe, 17-week season, so we got to sort of recalibrate this, do any of you really believe that the Packers win more than six games? I don't. They won't. That's a 3 or a 4-win team without Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, two of the three teams that Rodgers wants to go to are in the most difficult division, in football, in the AFC West. You better believe, you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be motivated? And he will be if he leaves town to prove that he still got it. I think Aaron Rodgers could have the best year of his career next year, and he's still going to be the second most motivated quarterback on the second most motivated team in the AFC West, if he goes to the AFC West, because don't forget the Chiefs getting humiliated against the New England Patriots. Lost a bunch of their offensive linemen, Kansas City Chiefs, had, in a story that's much more important than football, the son of the head coach, reportedly, you know, the details, in a driving while under the influence, allegedly, circumstance, hit a young child and put their life in jeopardy, who's still recovering, and all of that led, so clearly, all that led to a Super Bowl juggernaut that just fell apart. The Chiefs are going to be crazy motivated. It's going to be a brutal division. The Chargers are such a good football team. And I still think Aaron Rodgers on the Denver Broncos, again, 17 games instead of 16, that's at least an 11-win team. For the Raiders, that's at least an 11-win team. For the Niners, that's at least an 11-win team. That's how good Aaron Rodgers is. And it brings us to the new reality of the National Football League. This is the lesson, not for the Packers. That ship has sailed. You drafted Jordan Love. You didn't tell Aaron Rodgers. He came out and praised, yeah, some rando wide receiver. You cut him the next day. You didn't draft a receiver in the first round this time around. It doesn't matter what you think your needs are, or your big board, or how smart you think you are if you're the Packers brass. Here's the reality the Packers didn't want to accept. This ain't the NFL of 10 years ago. The power rests with a few quarterbacks who are good enough to win multiple games because of their mere presence. The model is not the NFL 5 or 10 years ago. The model is not the world that any of these decision makers came up in, working their way up from high school to college to the NFL, where the reality was you thought it operated like a hierarchy, like a military system. Doesn't matter who you are, you take orders, you follow them. No, look to the NBA. LeBron James has the power because LeBron James can win championships on his own. Kevin Durant has the power because he can bend the game when he's healthy to his will. Aaron Rodgers has all the power. And this shouldn't have been news to the Mensa candidates in Green Bay, Wisconsin. All you had to do was look at a guy named Tom Brady. And you didn't even have to look that hard. You really could have just looked, you know, stared down from your luxury box at Lambeau when the Buccaneers came to town and beat you to make it to a Super Bowl. Tom Brady felt disrespected with the Patriots. Felt like his guy, Alex Guerrero, didn't get treated the right way. Felt like Bill Belichick didn't treat him with the respect he deserves anymore. Felt like he wasn't regarded with the level of respect that he should have been. And he left, and he won a Super Bowl. The power rests with the quarterbacks who are good enough to flex their muscle. This is the reality. This is the evolution of sports. This is the deal, man. As quarterbacks become more important and more impactful, the pool of them has not increased, just the need for them. It's this thing called supply and demand. There's a remarkable demand for QBs. There's not enough of them to go around. There's not enough of them to go around. It's not easy to genuflect in front of some superstar, but you do it. NBA comparison again. LeBron James was probably going to leave Miami. Obviously, he ended up going back to Cleveland. Pat Riley didn't know that. I'm not sure if you could find a combination of a more prideful and successful front office person than Pat Riley in any sport, anywhere. And he drafted, was it Shabazz Napier? Whatever random player, LeBron, I like this guy. The Heat didn't value him that highly. They didn't have him high on their draft board. They didn't think he was going to be an impact player. They wanted LeBron to be happy. And LeBron still left. It's not rocket science. So we put together, it's too late for the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is gone. Maybe they'll fire Gutekunst. Maybe he'll go away. I still think he might force his way out. And the other thing that I think, again, history tells the tale, man. It's not just a Tom Brady story, which is a story of power and that it rests with quarterbacks. It's also the story of Andrew Luck. This idea that we hold on to, that we want to believe in. I want to believe in. This notion that they love the game too much to give it away isn't always true. Yeah, Michael Jordan couldn't let go. He couldn't. It's what made him great. Yes, Brett Favre couldn't let go. And maybe the ultimate example was Ricky Henderson, who might still be playing in the Mexican League. I don't even know. But not everybody feels that need. These are athletes who have made next generation wealth. In Aaron Rodgers' case, who has won a Super Bowl and who feels disrespected. Doesn't matter if he's a diva or not. Maybe he is. I don't know. Probably. Doesn't matter if he's bringing his cutthroat, assassin, cold-blooded, merciless approach to the politics of his organization as well as he does on the field. That's the deal, man. That's the deal. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has literally gone Hollywood, which isn't a thing that the Packers should be angry about. It should offer some insight into the psychology of Aaron Rodgers. He's a star. He expects to be treated like a star. Deal with it. Deal with it. Andrew Luck is another historical example. Guys will walk away and not come back. If you're the Browns, I'm not kidding. I don't even know if Baker Mayfield's that good. I don't think we know. I think we know the Browns are one of the, and things can change quickly, but they're one of the two rising teams in the AFC that we can recognize right now, right? You'll add certainly a team, any team in the AFC, if Aaron Rodgers goes there, including Denver and a Raiders team that doesn't deserve him. And Denver doesn't deserve him either. But Baker's the quarterback of that team. So don't make the same mistake. Give Baker what he wants. In that case, I think it's just to tell him he's an amazing actor and to give him the keys to the stadium when him and his wife want to just like live there. Boom. Sounds great. Perfect. Mahomes is really easy to keep happy. It's gross. It's disgusting. I can't support this. And my dad, longtime meatpacking executive, I ate steak from a very young age. You can't put ketchup on your steak. It's wrong. It should almost be illegal, but not for Patrick Mahomes. What's the best ketchup company on? I don't even know. Is it Heinz? I'm just going to go Heinz. You call Pines, you strike a deal, you spend the money, you're Clark Hunt, you get Mahomes a lifetime supply of ketchup. The Bears don't have to do much for Carson Palmer. You just put up QB1 all over town. Don't even have to say it's him, right? Just have QB1. So when they swap in fields, like, well, your name wasn't technically attached to it. By the way, I love the Bears putting salt in the wound of the Packers. Not even through sources, just on the record. Yeah, we called Carson to let him know we're going to draft a quarterback because we're respectful. It's almost like they look directly at the camera because they were talking to Aaron Rodgers because we respect our quarterbacks. And we want to be decent. It's just, oh my God, it's so cutthroat. Cutthroat. I mean, come on, you tell Big Ben that, you know, he's the man, and yes, Big Ben, it's fine. No one has to look you in the eye. No one will speak to you when you walk into the building. You don't have to be nice to people. Keep doing your thing. Even Russell Wilson, throw the guy a bone, right? If you're Pete Carroll, just call him into a meeting. Well, what plays do you want to do? Sounds great. And then maybe in garbage time, run a play and call it the Russ. And just make him feel involved. Manage these egos. They're not soldiers anymore. It's not a military. It's not a hierarchy. When quarterbacks get to a point like Aaron Rodgers where they can bend the game to their will and their mere presence is worth 5 or 6 or 7 wins, and really what we're talking about is their mere presence makes you a contender, or when you just don't have an alternative. I mean, look at what the Cowboys paid Dak Prescott. Satiate their ego. Make them happy. Look, you get lucky, you get a Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, incredibly nice dudes, it seems like, and talented. Way to go. Mahomes is the same thing, to be fair. Guys are allowed to be difficult. Keep those guys happy. Or you're going to wake up to the headline the Packers woke up to today. Packers looking for quarterback to add for OTAs. They only have 2 on the roster. That's the news of the day. They're going to add some random quarterback. That's not the news of the day. The news is the Packers are screwed because they didn't understand that ego and power matter. Not yours, Aaron Rodgers. And that's the deal. 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number here on the Jim Rome Show. RomanHaveATake.com, at Jim Rome, JimRome.com. You can hit me up, sports writer, sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Man, a lot going on in the world. Tony La Russa doesn't know the rules of baseball. How La Russa literally gave a game away. We're going to crush him. I'm just telling you right now when we come back next year on the Jim Rome Show.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Oh, welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in. I'll be here today and tomorrow. Brian Weber, I believe. Early part of next week. Thank you so much for listening on CBS Sports Radio, for watching on CBS Sports Network. JimRome.com, Odyssey.com. Appreciate you. Saturday, it's a big day on CBS Sports, beginning at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific, with the National Women's Soccer League Challenge Cup Final. Then at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, it's off to the golf course where some of the PGA Tour's best will be on the tee competing at the Wells Fargo Championship. That's all coming up Saturday on CBS. I'm on Twitter, Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. I love filling on the show. Love seeing Alvin. Love seeing Ritt. Love being part of the program. Been listening to Jim forever. It's a clone myself. And as I've talked about, it is a privilege to sit in this chair for the best person literally to ever do this job. I also really enjoy the tweets that I get from all of you. I will read them. I'll probably do it after tomorrow's show. Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. You can also, of course, just go at Jim Rome, JimRome@haveATake.com. Jeff in Green Bay tweets at the show. Trust me, the local Green Bay sports guys don't know jack about Rodgers. He has never talked to the local guys. They're just regurgitating what they hear on TV. Well, Jeff, allow me to respectfully disagree. Trust me, Aaron Rodgers, and I think this is an important point. The really great ones understand the way in which their greatness creates power for them and power with the media. Aaron Rodgers gets the press. Aaron Rodgers has an agent. Aaron Rodgers has people, trust me, who reach out. Local reporters absolutely, courtage the wrong word, have relationships with power brokers. They do. I mean, there have been teams that I covered the Heat, you know, 10 years ago when LeBron first got there, and I was brutal to that organization, and they hated me. And I get along with the Heat now, and I respect the hell out of them. I did then, too. But a lot of people in that organization talked to me. A lot of people around LeBron talked to me trying to, that guy got fired, but trying to sort of, you'd be surprised the degree to which people like Aaron Rodgers or the people around Aaron Rodgers talk to everybody. So I disagree with you. I'm probably not going to agree with Aaron in Seattle either. Aaron tweets at Jim Rome. Bill, the difference between the Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers situation is mainly that Green Bay is a frozen landfill in the middle of nowhere with a group of rabid meth-addled gremlins eating cheese in the stands like a bunch of sociopaths. I may live in L.A., but I'm actually from Dubuque, Iowa. My family's from Wisconsin. And while I'm not a Packers fan, my parents, when they lived in Green Bay, my family, I was in college, lived in Green Bay, Wisconsin, had season tickets to Packers games. And it pains me to say this, but the reality is that actually they're like the Cardinals fans of the NFL. They are by far the best fans in the sport. Although it is cold there. That part you got right. And Bob at Penguin 488 tweets, is Jim in the basement after watching his Dodgers get swept? Come on. Did the Dodgers... Look, I'm not going to wait. Jim can handle his own business, but I'll say this. The Dodgers are the best team in baseball. I'm a Cubs fan. Ritt's a Cubs fan. I haven't asked Ritt, but there's no way that Ritt actually thinks the Cubs are a contender or the Dodgers aren't. The Cubs are a bad baseball team who got hot. You can throw your shoulder. I mean, come on, bro. There's no way. Although I'll say this for the Cubs, to their great advantage. They have a manager who knows the sport of baseball. And you would think that would be like sort of like a basic requirement, but you would be wrong. So I get a lot of stuff right. I'm just going to tell you right now. You like me, you don't like me, enjoy me feeling in, you don't enjoy me feeling in, that's fine. I get most of the things that I say are right, which is why the show that I host is called Righter Than You. Maybe it's arrogant, it's also true. Spent 4 hours when I had a four-hour show. Now I have a two-hour show in the mornings. When the news got announced a few years ago about John Gruden just being a disaster. Spent 4 hours of that show, or three. I think the news came down an hour in. It was going to be a 10-year, $100 million joke. Travesty. Here we are, 3 years in. Del Rio, better record first three years there. More playoff appearances, more playoff wins. Then John, I'm stealing money and don't know what I'm doing, Gruden. Said at the start of this NBA season on my show, to several colleagues who were friends of mine, that I thought the Hawks would be, Atlanta would be a top six team. They would avoid that 7-8, 9-10 play-in thing. And that Phoenix would be a top four team. Got mocked by buddies of mine. Famous NBA writers. Not going to tell you whether it was Sam Amick or Howard Beck or Tom Haberstroh or Kurt Heelan or Jeff Zilgit. I'll just tell you it was a few of those guys. And I love those guys. They were wrong. I was right. Happens. I can keep going. I'm telling you, right now, I told you Tony La Russa was going to be a disaster, and this shouldn't have been a shock. But you saw it against Cincinnati. Here's the way that the new extra innings work. For anyone who doesn't know, hashtag Tony La Russa. In extra innings, you start with the runner on second base. The runner who goes on second base is the person that made the last out in the previous inning. But if that person's a pitcher, you're allowed to go to the guy before that. So if you have, I don't know, I'm trying to think out loud here, Liam Hendricks, your closer, in a double switch, which is what happened, as the guy that's in the position of the last out, you can actually go to the guy before that. It would have been Abreu in this case. Instead, they put Hendricks on second. I believe that he had only been past first base in his major league career as a runner one time in his career. He got to third. There was a play in the infield where basically the Reds defense didn't have to worry about the guy in third because they didn't think he was going to be able to successfully go from third to home. They were correct. Got out of the inning, walk-off win, total joke. Everyone's perplexed. I'm wondering, what in the holy hell is Tony La Russa doing? And it turned out that Tony La Russa and some poor reporter, trust me, reporters do not like raising their hands, asking a question, then having to follow up with, you're stupid, with their eyes cast down. But that's what happened in this post-game moment for the ages.
You have to use the guy who made the last out. And that was Vaughn, not Abreu. Vaughn made the last out.
The rule book, the MLB.com said, if the player in the batting order immediately preceding that half innings leadoff hitter is the pitcher, the runner placed on second base may be the player preceding the pitcher in the batting order. Did like the umps explain anything like that? Or?
Well, you know, I didn't know that. We all thought that Liam was going to be the runner, and that's why I wanted there, because if you wanted a double switch to keep him in the game, if you look at all, you know, Abreu back to Moncada and so forth, that's not who you want to double switch out of the game. I wasn't aware that Abreu could have run. I thought it had to be the guy who made the last out or that spot in the order. That was why the guys on the bench came out and questioned me about, you know, that Liam was going to be the runner. And I said, yeah, I know. So we didn't know it.
Could someone get La Russa on the phone? I just have a few points of order. Just so he knows, it's three strikes and you're out at the old ball game. It's not four. So, you know, you might want to defend the plate there. And it's four, actually, pitches out of the zone. They're called balls. That results in a base on balls. It's not five. So on a 3-2 count, you actually kind of want to protect, just so he knows how things are operating. Was La Russa preparing for the eighth and ninth inning as well, before it went to extras? Was he confused? What's going on? Was there a runner second? On doubleheaders? It's more than a doubleheader. Come on. Tony Luzarusa, can we go with that? This isn't going to work. It's not going to succeed. The game passes people by. This makes Mike McCarthy with the Cowboys look like the most evolved, ahead-of-the-game head coach in sports. What an absolute joke. All right, we're moving on. Actually, we're not entirely moving on because I am going to ask Tony Gwynn Jr. about it. Tony Gwynn Jr., longtime major leaguer, radio host in San Diego, MLB expert and insider for Odyssey. Going to join me in a moment here on the Jim Rome Show just after we get a CBS.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in. Happy Thursday. I'll be here today and tomorrow. Brian Weber, early part of next week. Phone number the same, 1-800-636-8686. RomeAtHaveATake.com, at Jim Rome on Twitter, JimRome.com, Odyssey.com. And, of course, you can hit me up, SportsWriter, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Man, I love the reach of this show. It's amazing. It's amazing having this opportunity. Had the chance on my own program in the mornings to visit with our next guest. Great guy, great radio host, great broadcaster for the Padres and our affiliate. I think we're on the air there right now, 97.3 The Fan in San Diego. He is Tony Gwynn Jr. Tony, what's going on, man? Thanks for being on.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Sorry. So let's get to it. I'm a Cubs fan. And I'm trying to figure out, Tony, to what degree I actually get to be excited about sweeping a Dodgers team that is both obviously very talented and at least at the moment not playing. I'm not sure they're not playing well. They're just not winning games. Is there any reason for people like me, these Cubs fans of the world, to believe that what we just saw will translate to any kind of real success over the course of this very long MLB season?
I think right now it's a yes and no, right? I think that Dodger team isn't playing their best baseball right now. Offensively, they're a little banged up still. And it's early, right? But nevertheless, you still went out and swept the World Series champs, who, although their offense isn't hitting on all cylinders, it's still a very good team with very good pitching. And so I think it's a little bit of both. Yes, you can be excited, but I think you also have to kind of temper that excitement.
Tony Gwynn Jr. here on the Jim Rome Show at Tony Gwynn Jr. on Twitter. Tony, is there a certain number of games, and I think we're around, 30, over the course of a season where you feel like it's reasonable to look at the standings and to say, okay, this is real, right? The Royals, wherever they atop a division, the Cubs, wherever they might be, the San Francisco Giants. Yeah. Is there a marker where it feels like there's enough of a sample size that you personally take whatever we're seeing seriously?
I always felt like it was right at towards the end of June. You start to know who everybody is, who the players are, who the teams that you think have a chance to do that at the end. The beautiful thing about baseball is that the season's so long that the cream usually rises to the top, right? And the better teams usually start to show themselves. You start to see that cement itself, I always felt like, towards the end of June.
Tony, one of the, I think, under-talked-about stories in baseball for me is the fact that Farhan Zaidi, who was the number two to Andrew Friedman with the Dodgers, Andrew Friedman, president of baseball operations of the Dodgers, Farhan was the GM. It went to the Giants. It's not like the Giants and the Dodgers like each other. If it were the Yankees number two going to the Red Sox, I think it would have been a bigger story. I think it should be a big story. Farhan's very good at what he does, and it felt like it was inevitable that there was going to be a similar model to what we saw at the Dodgers. They were going to find a bunch of arms. They were going to have this secret recipe where the pitching staff was going to be better than it might look on paper, and they were going to grow the farm system. That feels like it was coming. It seems a little early, but the Giants so far have played really well. They're sitting atop that division. I think most of us believe Tony Gwynn Jr., Dodgers and Padres were going to be two of the three, if not two of the two, best teams in baseball, to say nothing to the NL West. Should we be taking the Giants just as seriously or almost as seriously over the course of this season going forward?
Look, the Giants, they're a good team. I've had a chance to see them go up against the Padres already twice this season, and they are certainly a team that the West is going to have to deal with. Now, can they sustain this type of a success for the rest of the season? I think that's still a question mark. But there's no question that as you watch that team play, they play good baseball. And they got some guys. And the thing that Farhan did there, I think, has turned out to be so impressive is he took a one-year flyer on a lot of the guys they brought in. And Lestello's really the only one that they gave a multi-year deal to. And so it was really a low-risk, high-reward option, and it's turned out to be good. I mean, DeSclafani has looked terrific for them. Gosman has been outstanding. We saw him twice out here in San Diego. So they have pitching, and when you have pitching, you have a chance to make some noise, and they're in every ballgame.
Tony, I don't know if the Padres are the best team in baseball. I do know, regardless of what happens for the rest of the year, I think they're the most interesting team in baseball. It's hard not to root for them. If you're a Dodgers fan, I live in L.A., I get it. But not just 18 of 14, small market, not spending like a small market, developed a farm system, but also went out and spent some money, right? I mean, Machado, big addition. Yu Darvish, who was great the other night, great addition. I could go down the list. Exciting young players. They're 18 and 14. They've played the Dodgers tough, particularly in that last series. That was a hell of a group of baseball games. You're there. You're around that team every day. You're on 97.3 The Fan in San Diego, home of the Padres. You're a Padres broadcaster. What's the sort of inside look? What do you make of the Padres so far? And if anything, what do they need to work on to meet some pretty lofty expectations this year?
I think right now, when you look at this team, if you were going to come in MVP, it's been in the pitching staff as a whole, particularly the bullpen, though. They have really had to pick up some of the pieces for just bad luck. I mean, you have a start with Snell, doesn't get out of the first. Bullpen picks that up. You have Morton Holmes get injured in the first. Bullpen picks that up. They did it with Weathers. They've done it with numerous guys, with Lament in his first start, though. And they just keep throwing up zeros. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Now, does that well for an entire season? I don't think so. And you just hope that it doesn't end up having to be that way. They just for whatever reason, due to injuries and guys not necessarily pitching at their best, the bullpen has to pick up more pieces. But offensively, this is a team that hasn't even come close to the output that they put up last year, and despite playing, I think, one of the toughest schedules to keep going, I mean, they're really the only team that's below 500 that they've played has been the Pittsburgh Pirates. Everybody else is either at 500 or above it, and that includes the Dodgers already seven times this year. So you look at the record at 18 and 14 when really your starting pitchers who are actually going well right now, Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove, I'd say 18 and 14 is pretty good. You're only a game out as we speak today.
Tony Gwynn Jr. here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in. I know as we get to go back to ballparks and they, folks get to buy tickets, very few people are taking their kids to any ballpark because they really want to see the bullpen. It ain't sexy, but it is important. You go back so many Royals. I mean, that Royals team, right? And I wrote about the Royals a lot in my early days, Tony. I mean, that Royals team now several years ago that won had a, you know, you got to the basically the seventh inning and it was lights out because the bullpen, I mean, it's that is that bodes so well for the Padres. One of the, I've asked you this before, Tony, on my own show, so I apologize for being a little repetitive, but I want the Jim Rome audience to hear this too because I think it's interesting. Fernando Tatis Jr. is such a marvelously talented guy, and he's so much fun to watch. And he's not the only young player in baseball who carries a name, right? That is, it's a blessing, it's a burden, it's whatever it is. So do you. I mean, you're Tony Gwynn Jr. So from your experience for Tatis Jr., for the other juniors that are out there and will be out there in the years ahead, to what degree is that something that benefits or makes life more difficult as you try to make your way to the majors, make your own mark, and obviously have success?
I guess it's all in the eye of the beholder, right? I think it's about how you perceive, that as an advantage or as a disadvantage. And, you know, guys like Fernando, you know, who are just, by the way, far more talented than I ever was, seemingly have taken that on as a positive. And I think there is definitely, and it's not necessarily even juniors, but just guys who have fathers in the game, there is an advantage to that, right? You get an early perspective, even if you don't spend a whole lot of time in the clubhouse. Inevitably, your pops is able to kind of pass that down to you, and it's one less thing you really have to worry about in terms of, you know, walking into a major league clubhouse and going out and performing. And I think Fernando embodies that, right? Like he seemingly is taking whatever pressures that have been bestowed upon him and embracing all of it. And I think you can get behind it. I think you can watch a young man try to reach the status and the expectation that is placed upon him, and you can get behind a guy trying to do that. So I think the pressures are what they are. You know, you inevitably people will always compare you to, you know, your father, but in his case, he's got a chance to go well beyond what his dad did. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch over the years personally.
Tony Gwynn Jr. here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. Tony, last NL West question for you. The Dodgers did lose Dustin May, which is for the year, which is a huge blow. Very talented guy, but they still have Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, Trevor Bauer. I mean, Julio Urias is not exactly a bum. I mean, that's a talented baseball team. Is there any reason, and I think they have the best run differential in baseball, even though they've lost, what, 8 of their last 10 games or whatever it is. Is there any reason that team should stop taking the Dodgers seriously as a, not just an NL West contender, but a World Series contender?
Yeah, at your own risk. You could do that for sure. I mean, that team, you just mentioned, yes, they lost Dustin May, but if they want, they can get David Price out of the bullpen and use him as a starter. They still have Gosselin that they could use as a starter. So they have the depth to be able to sustain it. Now, are they as strong as they are as they would be without Dustin May? Absolutely not. But they definitely have the depth. And as I said, their offense hasn't really gotten going. And when that is clicking, and you have to expect that it will, that team is still going to be a team that, you know, everybody is really trying to catch.
Tony, maybe it's the Cub fan in me, but I have not been particularly nice to Tony La Russa today based on his inability to know the rules of a Major League Baseball game. And it was significant, right? It was a significant – the outcome that resulted was significant. To what degree do you think that Tony La Russa Jr. and his staff not knowing how these extra inning rules work is a serious problem?
Well, it's certainly a problem right now. I mean, listen – I don't think Tony's interested in changing people's, you know, perception of what they think he should be doing. But that is, if you remove all of the outside noise, that's just a mistake that really shouldn't happen, right? I think, and it doesn't solely, I mean, yes, the blame will obviously lie at the feet of Tony, but his staff is equally as guilty in this situation as he is, right? I mean,
That's why you have a staff. Sometimes the game can get moving, and you know, somebody. That's why you have a bench coach. That's why you have a staff next to you. And clearly, they failed as well. So ultimately, he's the manager, so the blame is going to fall on him. He's the one that has to make that decision. But you would have liked to have a staff that could pick you up in that situation. But it's certainly a problem right now. It is. They have to start winning games, because ultimately that's the only thing that's going to calm everybody down and get everybody off his back, is if they win games. But right now, they're not doing that at the clip that everybody was thinking they would be.
Tony, got about 40 seconds left here, so last quick one for you. If you had to point to one team that's surprising in a positive way, whether it's the Red Sox or the Giants or the Royals or someone I'm forgetting, is there one that you think is most likely to still be relevant come August?
I think it's the Royals. I saw that team in spring training. It was just something about the way those guys were conducting the bat. Even then, it was just a feel to the game that you just felt like this team was going to be for real. And as it turns out, they have been. And I think as they get into the season, they start bringing up, you know, some of the young bats and like Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, that. They're going to be a team that's there, I think, at the end. I think I think ultimately the Giants and the Red Sox will be teams that are still in the fight too, but I like the Royals.
I love that answer. Tony Gwynn Jr., appreciate you. Always amazing having you on the show. Thank you so much for making some time.
All right, Bill. Take care. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, buddy. You too. Tony Gwynn Jr. on the program, at Tony Gwynn Jr. on the old Twitter, filling in. I'm Bill Ryder, filling in for Jim Rome. Tony jumping on the program. I love that Royals answer. I love that Kansas City. Kids are born in Kansas City. I worked at the Kansas City Star, and that is a town. I mean, all the towns out there, but they deserve a little joy in their baseball. All right, got to get to some NBA. Clippers, Lakers tonight. Season's coming to a close. Got a really interesting MVP race, unless you think Nikola Jokic is a sure thing. I'm not sure that I'm there yet. Probably is. I guess got to get there. Kurt Heelan, my buddy, national NBA writer for NBC Sports, is going to join me in a moment here on the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Network and CBS Sports Radio.